Speaking on this program is Franklin Kemp.
We're talking about the essentials of the kingdom of God, and of course in discussing this, is to emphasize how the church is to grow. If the church is to grow, then I must grow spiritually, because that's the ultimate end and purpose of our being Christian. The early church did not run ads in the Jerusalem daily about their services and their activities, though there's nothing wrong in that. But that's not the way the early church grew. The early church grew because of the influence of the gospel in their lives, and in turn, how that affected their lives in relation to others. And that's really the foundation of our growth as far as the church is concerned. And so we're talking about Matthew 5:13-16. Jesus said, "You're salt, you're light." The church is to be as a city that's set on a hill whose light cannot be hid. And out of that comes the works expressive of our faith that enables people to see God in us and thereby be led to glorify God. That's what we're trying to find out. How can that take place? What are the ingredients that go into making that kind of life or that produces that, so that people see God through me and thereby are led to glorify Him? Now, that's not just something that we decide, and this morning we'll say, "Well, you know, I'm going to decide that I want people to see God in me and then leave here and expect that to take place in some place." The Sermon on the Mount gives us the ingredients by which we are to enable this to take place in our life. It gets at the very heart of what religion's all about. The principle that's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 can be seen in the lives of people between Acts 2 and Acts 28. The people that God approved in the book of Acts are the people who imbibed into their heart and life what's found in the Sermon on the Mount. And that's the thing that we are interested in study. Here is a sermon that all of us need to study. And if I want to go to heaven when I die, I must learn what's in this sermon and put it in my life. If I don't do that, nothing else that I do will matter. And that's the reason that the things that we're going to be talking about are so important. If I want to please God, go to heaven, I need to become serious about what we're going to be studying about. The Sermon on the Mount tells about the kingdom of God. In fact, that's the way the first beatitude began. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Verse 10, that's the way. Verse 10 also, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And so between these, we have a description of attitudes that must characterize our life and be built into our life if we want to be pleasing and acceptable unto God. And so I want us to take some time to think about some things that are in this sermon. The next few weeks, Sunday morning and Sunday night, we'll be talking about it. I want you to notice how it began. "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was sad, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." I want to talk about that a little bit, and then I want to talk about the word "blessed" a little bit, and that'll probably take up the time that we have this morning in preparing our minds for the things that we'll be studying. You notice it says that he taught them. This was the method that Jesus used to prepare people for entering into the kingdom of God. He sought to reach men through teaching. This was the Lord's way of changing the lives of people. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want your life changed for the better? I want you to think about it. Ponder it. Do I really want to see improvement in my life? Am I satisfied to just go on as I am? Do I examine my life, and as I look at it, am I conscious of things that need to be changed in my life? And am I really serious about changing those things in my life that need to be changed? That's serious. If we're not, and are not going to become serious about it, and about changing our lives, we might just as well mark off our hope of going to heaven. We're not going to make it. I realize that's plain and pointed. But the very people to whom Jesus was talking, the multitudes of people, are the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish nation as a whole. They had lost their saltness and thereby their saving power. They were living in a world and were not influencing anybody for good. Romans 2 tells us that because of the way they lived, that the Gentiles blasphemed the name of God. So they were not salt, and they were not light. And Jesus was trying to tell His disciples that when the kingdom begins at Pentecost, if you're going to be salt and if you're going to be light, here's what it's going to take. And the beginning of that is to be teachable. Let me teach you. I want to change your life. And that's the only way that it can take place. If we are not serious about being taught, there's not going to be any changes in our life. We're going to go on just like we've been going on. And that alterations and change are not going to take place. It's going to be necessary if we're going to be pleasing to God. We're going to have to become serious about the matter of knowing what the Bible teaches and letting the Bible affect our lives. If we come here and we're not interested in our Bible class and not really serious about it, and just coming to go through a ritual, and are not interested in learning those things that the Bible sets forth that will affect my life and improve my life, then we're wasting our time. Going through some kind of ritual and sitting in a class is not going to make me better. I'm going to have to come with an interest in wanting to know and to learn and to apply. And so in the very beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, there is the emphasis on the importance of teaching. And that's what I'm trying to do. That involves my teaching, that involves the classes, that also involves personal study. If we're really serious about it, we'll open our Bibles and let God, through His Word, teach me in private. As I read and meditate and think and open my heart to allow what that book says, to see my own life and to see my needs and the changes that need to take place. If I'm not that serious about it, I'll just continue to live on like I've been living. And then one day I'll stand before God when life is over at the judgment. Too late. And I will be lost. The things that I'm talking about are matters of life and death. That's how serious it is. This is the greatest sermon, contains the greatest message that's ever fallen upon the ears of men. Every sermon that's preached by men ought to have in some way the principles contained in this sermon. And so I'm interested then in our seeing what we can find out about it. And so the first beatitude begins, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I want to take a little time and talk about the word blessed. The general idea of the word blessed is that it means happy. I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the way that the word's used. I believe I can take the Bible and show you that that's not the way the word's used. And so we need to learn in the very beginning, when Jesus said, "Blessed," who is that blessed man? I must learn that. It is the blessed man that's going to go to heaven. And only the blessed man's going to heaven. I can prove that from the book of Matthew. Turn to Matthew 25 and listen. Jesus said, "Come ye blessed." Who? Blessed. Come where? Come why? "Come ye blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Who are these people that are going to pass the judgment? Here they are right here. Is there anybody else on that day that passed by? No. That word describes the people that stood there, will stand there on that day and hear Him say, "Enter thou in." Who are the ones that are not going to enter in? They're going to be the ones that that word will not describe. Can I be applied to? You see, that's one of the problems sometimes in our study. When we read the blessings in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, when we get down to Matthew 25, we've done forgot about Matthew 5. But Matthew did. It's still there. That's the reason that I said that we need to do some heart searching and raise some questions. When I stand before God in judgment, will I be able to hear Him say, "Come, ye blessed"? That will depend on whether or not I'm the man that's described in this Sermon on the Mount. I'm not the man described in this Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to be among that number. I'll find that out. Sermon on the Mount will tell us about that. There'll be some people over at the end of the Sermon on the Mount that we'll see that that's just exactly what he's talking about. Now, what does the word blessed mean? The word blessed does not mean happy. It means God approved. Who is the God approved man? And I said, I can prove that by the Bible. And I'm going to do that. Turn with me now to a very familiar psalm. The very first psalm. And let's just read that psalm and let's notice what the psalm says. "Blessed, and there's our very word. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." Now, what did I tell you about Jesus taught them saying? Here is the teachable man. Here is the God-approved man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate day and night. This book is a book of life and death. It's not just something to read occasionally. It's not just something to give me a book to get up here and have something I can use for a sermon. It's a message of life and death. But in order for it to be a message of life unto me, I have to be ready to be taught, anxious to be taught, interested in being taught, interested in learning, and then using what I learned to let it change my life. Have you learned anything today that will make a difference in your life tomorrow? That's what it's about. And if I haven't learned something that will change my life tomorrow, I need to have some second thoughts. Just my being here is not all it's about. And so, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Then he describes the kind of character that he'll be. But I want to drop down now to verse 5 and 6. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Now we're back to Matthew 25. There are two groups in Matthew 25. One, Jesus said, "Come, ye blessed, God approved, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Depart from me." Who are they? They're the ungodly. Where are they standing? In judgment. What's the difference? One is God approved and one is not God approved. That's exactly what this psalm says. Look at it. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now look at verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Now look at the word knoweth there. Does that mean that God does not have knowledge of the way of the wicked? Oh no. The word know there is used in the sense of approved. God approves the way of the righteous. Who is this blessed man in Psalms 1? He is the God-approved man. That's who he is. Who is the man that is the one that's not approved of God? He's not the blessed man. He's the ungodly. I don't think there can be the slightest doubt that the word blessed in verse 1 is exactly equal to the word knoweth in verse 6. And therefore the blessed man is the man that God approves. And that's what Matthew 5 is telling us. That's the blessed man. That's what the book of Matthew will be telling us. Let me turn to the book of Matthew and show you. We have established the fact that the word blessed means to know. We won't even get out of the Sermon on the Mount. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 7, and let's begin reading in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Now, we've been here this morning, and we've been saying, Lord, Lord. That's not enough. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the man that's serious. That's a man that allows the Word of God to influence and to change his life, to mold and to make him. That's the man that he's talking about there. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Let me just change that and say, many in that day will say, Lord, Lord, was I not a member of the church, and did I not assemble? Did I not attend Bible study? Listen again now to what he said. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Now what did he mean by that? Did he mean that I never heard of you until now? Is that what he meant? No. I never approved of you. Your life was without my approval. Now what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And then again, if you turn to Matthew 25, there is the account of the virgins. 10 virgins. And you recall the story how that some of them came and their lamps were not burning. And because their lamps were not lit and their lamps were not burning, listen to what he says in verse 12. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. You mean he didn't know who they were? Oh, yes. What's the problem? I do not approve of you. You're not the blessed man. You're not God approved. We find them knocking on the door and say, Let me in. Why? You're not the blessed man. You're not God approved. I'm not going to let you in. Now, if standing before God in judgment and either entering in or not entering in is a serious matter, then what we are studying is truly serious. Young people, listen to what I'm talking to you about. I'm talking about things that's going to determine your eternal destiny. Those of us who are older need to think about this too. Who is that God-approved man? What is there about him? How can we identify him? Now that's what we're going to be studying. We'll begin there tonight. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, there's the beginning place of the God-approved man. There's the beginning place of the blessed man. That's where you have to begin. What is it to be poor in spirit? Am I poor in spirit? If not, I'll never be God-approved. I'm not the blessed man in the book of Matthew. And I really need to know, am I that man? You come back tonight, and I'm going to try to draw a picture of that man and help me find out whether or not I am that blessed man of Matthew 5:3. That's where I've got to start. I can't start somewhere else. I've got to begin there. And is that where I began? As I look at my life, does that apply to me? Just let me say this as we close the lesson this morning. We call these the Beatitudes. If you divide that word, you have the word be. And then you have the word attitude. And that's exactly what these describe. The attitudes of our inward life that determine what we are. Our attitudes make us. Our attitudes are descriptive of our character. And that's what we're going to be looking at. And whenever we come to have the attitudes and the principle of the Sermon on the Mount, then the church at East Gadsden will be salt and will be light. Without it, we won't be. We ought to be fair and honest and upright and not try to dodge what it's all about. Why has East Gadsden, in the previous years, lost its saltness and its light? We're going to be finding out why. And we're going to find out how it can be restored. Provided we're real serious about it. And if we're not, we might as well lock up the doors and turn the building over to the bats and the spiders. You say that's real plain? Yes, it is. But this matter of our serving God and pleasing God can't be put on the back burner. It has to be a matter of life and death. Do I want to learn? Do I want to know? Do I want to be a part? And above everything else, do I want to be that God-approved man and that blessed man? I hope you'll come back tonight. Bring your Bibles, your pencil and paper, and an open heart and an open mind. And say, by the help of God, I'm going to let the Bible influence and change my life wherever changes need to be made. So that when life is over and I stand before God in judgment, I'll hear Him say, come ye blessed. I'll avoid the tragedy of all tragedies, hearing Him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. This morning the kingdom of God is open to you, if you're teachable. If you have the attitude of poverty of spirit and are ready to listen to what the Lord has to say and to hear Him. Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. He also said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. He further said, if you must confess me before men, if I confess you before my Father. And then He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Today you can enter into the kingdom of God if out of a teachable heart, a willingness to let the gospel change your life and keep changing it as long as you live, you can enter into that kingdom.